We're talking friendships on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The great Roman philosopher Cicero wrote that an old friendship, like a fine wine, becomes more delightful with the passage of time. And Cicero's best friend was Atticus back in the first century BC. And even though they were often apart, Cicero and Atticus exchanged letters that revealed a warm and devoted friendship. Do you have a good friendship story? Did you meet a friend in an unexpected way? We're at 800-642-1234. Julie Beck is a senior editor at The Atlantic, where she covers family and education. And her new series on friendship is called The Friendship Files. Julie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You talked to a bunch of different people for this series, to women who met through their work as co-pastors in a church, friends who met as contestants on the Great British Bake Off, and a group of men who were soldiers in the Vietnam War. First of all, how did you find these friendships?
Yeah, so some of them, you know, the Great British Bake Off ones, I just like that show, and it occurred to me to try to find them. Some of them were sort of referred to me by friends or friends of friends who knew of, you know, interesting stories. And now we just have an email, friendshipfiles@theatlantic.com, where people can submit stories if they want to nominate themselves or nominate someone they know. And so we're getting a lot that way as well.
You were worried that these friendship stories would be mundane after a while, or that the same things would be coming out profile after profile. Are you wrong?
I'm often wrong. Yeah. So it wasn't that, you know, I thought they would be mundane necessarily. It's just that I didn't know how long this series could be going on, right? You know, how many different profiles we could do, or how long we could kind of stretch it out. And so I always sort of wondered, you know, sometimes just in the course of doing journalism, as I'm sure you know, you do an interview and it's just not your best. And I wondered, you know, every time I made another call, like, is this going to be the one that just doesn't work out for whatever reason? Like, we just can't use it. And so far that has not been the case. You know, every time I talk to the friends together, you know, I interview them on a conference call. And I think that helps, because when people are talking with their friends and about their friends, they're just consistently, you know, warm and funny and generous. And you can hopefully capture a little bit of that dynamic that they have together. And to me, it's just endlessly interesting.
Well, the most recent one you just published, the two friends who work together writing songs for Sesame Street. Can you tell us about these work colleagues that really spilled over into this really enduring long friendship?
Yeah, they were so interesting. They were working together. Their names are Chris Cerf and Norm Stiles. And Norm was a head writer on Sesame Street, and Chris was a writer and composer. And they were both with Sesame Street from pretty close to the very beginning. And they just, you know, they used to collaborate on songs for the show. They told me they used to go out to this restaurant called Elaine's, which I guess is sort of a famous writer's spot in New York City, and just kind of have martinis and like bounce ideas off each other. And it led to a lot of the sort of famous songs that if people grew up with Sesame Street, they might know, like Put Down the Ducky is like the big example. And they just, you know, because they had this great collaboration at work, it sort of developed into a friendship beyond that as well.
I love how they got each other out of these creative problems that they created out of their songs. Like when the American Dairy Goat Association was sending angry letters to them and how they retaliated. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, I'll try to tell it accurately. So they had like an animation. I think it was just about subtraction. So all these animals were like eating things, and then it would go down to zero, right? And so that's how you're kind of teaching subtraction. And at the end, they had like a goat eating sneakers. And I guess the Dairy Goat Association was upset by that. They didn't want people to think that goats were eating sneakers when they're, you know, eating healthier grasses and corns and whatnot. And so I think it was Norm was saying, well, you know, let me try to just understand their perspective, like very Sesame Street philosophy. and they were like, why don't we just like attach a little puppet goat to the end of the animation who's upset? And he's the dairy goat. And he's saying, you know, we don't eat things like this. We eat healthy foods, not sneakers, da, da, da. So it was sort of showing both sides within the song, the animation.
Well, tell us about the friends who reconnected after 20 years apart because of a sweater.
Oh my gosh, I love these guys. So yeah, they were best friends growing up in high school in the 90s in New Jersey. And I guess they were going out one night and one of them borrowed the other one's sweatshirt, and he never returned it, which who among us? But he kept it for 20 years. He wore it all the time. He like sent me photos of himself like on his first date with his wife wearing this sweatshirt and all this stuff. And then I guess he was watching the Marie Kondo show and he was like, it's time to declutter my life. And he found the sweatshirt and he was like, you know, I've had this for 20 years. It's not really mine. And his friend, who he hadn't seen in a long time, like lived nearby in the area. And he just texted him and was like, hey, man, I have your sweatshirt. Like, can I give it back to you? So they got together and he returned the sweatshirt and there was some pomp and circumstance about the whole thing. And it was very sweet.
I was so surprised because these are two friends who were so close in high school. They live 5 miles apart. And yet they have very little interaction, you know, just once in a while. And you ask them about social media. I'm like, don't you guys keep up on social media? And they kind of had a funny response to that.
Oh, did they? I don't remember. I think I know that one of them was more on social media than the other.
Yeah. But in the sense that, you know, here they are in proximity, they're close, and yet their friendship endures even though that they may not keep up with each other every day.
Yeah, and I think that's like kind of a defining quality of friendship too, is that, you know, any other relationship, if you don't see somebody for that long, you probably are going to stop considering them. If you're dating somebody and you don't see them for months, you're not really dating anymore, probably. This is a different situation where, you know, friendship is just flexible. And I feel like people often say, you know, we hadn't seen each other in so long, but when we met up, it was just like picking right back up where we left off and like we'd never been apart. And I think that's something that is pretty unique.
We're talking with Julie Beck. She's a senior editor at The Atlantic, and her new series on friendship is called The Friendship Files. Asking you too about this another story you wrote about two women who met in the comment section of the feminist website Jezebel. How did they end up becoming friends?
Yeah, so that was actually a lot of women. I only spoke with five because there's only so many that you can get on a conference call. But I think the group is about 20 or 25 people now. And yeah, originally it was, you know, they were all in the comment section of Jezebel back in, I want to say the late 2000s, and, you know, just a different era of internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is around like 2008, 2009, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds right. And they would have these open threads on Jezebel every day. Like, you know, they would comment on articles and stuff, but Jezebel like was fostering this comment community by just being like, here's an open thread, like go nuts. And so they would just be chatting in there and sharing about their lives. And when the structure of Jezebel kind of changed or the comment system changed, they moved, you know, they invited all of their like favorite friends from the comment section to like this other forum site and eventually to Facebook. So now they have a private group on Facebook where they keep in touch and they've gone on vacation together a bunch of times. Like they went to Dollywood, they went to Las Vegas. Dollywood was the first time that they all met each other in person. Instead of just being online friends. And they, you know, they said it was like a really momentous occasion for them. But now, you know, they're just kind of communicating on all mediums all the time, seeing each other in person when they can. And it's pretty cool.
You write about how we tend to value romantic relationships and family relationships more than we do friendships. And as a result, we spend more time writing and making art about these kinds of relationships. And these friendships fall by the wayside. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so it's true that a lot of my interest in this sort of started from a research perspective because I used to, and I still do, write quite a bit about the sort of psychological research, sociological research on friendship, of which there is not a lot. And the friendship researchers themselves have told me, like, yeah, if you go to like the relationship, whatever research conference, like friendship has like one table and mm-hmm. the rest is family, the rest is romantic relationships. And I think that's true for art, too, although I don't want to, you know, make a super sweeping statement because there's been, you know, shows in recent times like Broad City that have gotten into exploring friendship a bit more. But generally, yeah, it is a bit underrepresented, I would say.
Julie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Julie Beck is a senior editor at The Atlantic, and her new series on friendship is called The Friendship Files. Comes out every Friday. If you have an amazing friendship story, you can submit it. Email friendshipfiles@theatlantic.com. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.